This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on India's resolute stand against terrorism. The participants are Veena Sikri, former diplomat, and Harsh V. Pant, strategic analyst. The moderator is Aditi Tandon, senior journalist.
The targeted killing of defenseless Hindu tourists in South Kashmir's Pahalgam on April 22 has invited widespread condemnation from across the world. Top global leaders have personally called up and they continue to phone Prime Minister Narendra Modi to express their solidarity with the country and its people. India has responded with firmness that is befitting of this very grave provocation by suspending the six-decade-old Indus Waters Treaty, revoking visas to Pak nationals and also downgrading diplomatic relations. Not just that, Prime Minister Narendra Modi yesterday articulated the pain and trauma of the entire country when he addressed the nation as well as the world from Bihar and made it very clear, loud and clear, that India will pursue these terrorists and their backers and handlers till the ends of the earth. Ms. Sikri, I'm coming to you and I just want your assessment on how do you view this initial national response from India to this Pakistan-sponsored terror attack in South Kashmir?
I think it's a very good and strong initial response. And I must say that the decision to keep the Indus Waters Treaties in abeyance is a very strong and good decision taken after a debate of the last 15 years and more. Because you must recognize that this Indus Waters Treaty is a very unequal treaty. India has been getting a very little, only 20-30% of the total water supply available in the western rivers and the eastern rivers, and Pakistan gets the remaining 70%. So obviously we have a shortage there, and there have been all kinds of restrictions on design of projects on the Indian side, and the experts come and see, and there's restriction on how much water you can store and so on. So now all this is gone and India can fully go ahead. I think this decision to put the treaty in abeyance has had a very sharp negative impact on within Pakistan. Stock market fell 1,000 points and great worry about what will happen this summer. Together with that, there were the other decisions about expelling the Army, Air Force and Navy attaches, which is very good because these are invariably ISI representatives and they do a great havoc in the country by talking and, you know, encouraging all kinds of wrong people to take wicked positions and so on. I think this is the start because we've seen the global international support that is pouring in for India. So we have to build upon this support. I think that one of the first things we should look at is having Pakistan declared as a state sponsor of terror. This is very important because with the support of the global community, this is vital. We need to put Pakistan in the blacklist of the FATF. This is also vital because it's very important to see where the money is coming from for the terrorists, the weaponry, etc. This time they were supposed to be using M4 carbines taken from the ones America had left behind in Afghanistan. So I think that we have to, as our Honorable Prime Minister has said in his speech yesterday in Bihar, that we have to take it to the last degree. We have to explore every option. We cannot give up now at this point. This first set of decisions, I'm sure, will be followed by more. There will be a response from the Pakistan side. We will continue our response. And this has to be pursued to the very end.
Mr. Harsh Pant, I wanted to understand from you, you know, everybody after Prime Minister Narendra Modi's remarks in Madhubani yesterday, where he also used the phrase where he actually said that time had come to raise the remaining infrastructure of terror in Pakistan to the ground. He didn't use the word Pakistan, but obviously it was implicit in his speech. After that, everybody needs to understand and wants to know what are the military options with India.
The options, of course, for India that are available are quite a few. Kinetic and non-kinetic responses both will have to be taken into account. What has happened so far is that India has had given a graded response, calibrated response, a deliberative response so far. As you were discussing earlier, the first phase has been more focused on diplomatic downgrading and the Indus Water Treaty being put in abeyance. And I think the message from India is that since the target is the innocent Indian tourists rather than Indian military installations or Indian soldiers, I think India's response by using the Indus Water Treaty and bringing it back to the center stage is also targeted at raising costs in some ways for the Pakistani civilians as well, because This is now a matter beyond just the Pakistani military. If you think of how the Pakistani army chief has framed India-Pakistan relations through the lens of Hindu-Muslim binary and gone back to the two-nation theory, it means that there is something more fundamental than just Pakistan's attempt to increase its own security, as all nations do. It is more fundamental to it now, this existential, almost ideological push, religious ideological push, going harking back to the two-nation theory, which means that that ideological conviction has to be tackled by India. You really cannot do it in a piecemeal fashion. So all the instrumentalities available to a nation state will have to be used, including the kinetic one. But I think before military action, you need a greater deliberative process, because it's, military, often the use of hard power carries its own costs, its own risks. And therefore, it's very important to build a larger global coalition. It requires effort. It requires mobilization of resources domestically. So I think eventually what you are going to see is efforts being put into place to pool India's hard power in ways that can perhaps result in a more direct, very precise military action. And India certainly would want to use its experience from what you mentioned earlier, from Uri, which was a cross-the-border exercise, to aerial attacks in Balakot in the post-Pulwama. I think all of that will have to be taken into consideration in shaping the kinetic response that eventually will come, in my opinion, because other, in some ways, the raising the cost for Pakistan at every single level, economically, politically, diplomatically, all of them would be important.
Coming to General Asim Munir's comments, Ms. Sikri, like Mr. Pant just mentioned, how he referred to Kashmir as the jugular vein of Pakistan. And he also mentioned one very important line in his address to overseas Pakistanis, where he said that Pakistan was formed on the basis of the Kalima. And then in Pehelgam, when we have the terror attack by the proxy of Lashkar-e-Taiba, the resistance front, we all know that, all the Hindus were singled out and they were asked to read the Kalima. And those that could not read the Kalima were shot dead at point blank ranges. You have been in Bangladesh. Ever since the Bangladesh was created, we all know that Pakistan has followed the twin policy of, one, of course, that they will acquire the nuclear power at any cost, which they had said in the Multan Conference, which was called in 1972. And they also adopted this policy of bleeding India with 1,000 cuts. And since then, we've seen that there's been practically no letting up in the proxy war that Pakistan military establishment has launched against India. It has been just going on. It was Punjab first, Kashmir later on the parliament attack, the Chhattisgarh Singhpura attack on 35 Sikhs who were killed in 2000, and now this Pehelgam attack where innocent Hindu tourists were killed in Pehelgam. So how do you deal with a rogue state like that?
Over the decades in India, whenever there's been a parliament attack, like you mentioned, and all the other terrible, terrible terrorist attacks on Indian very significant and important targets, there's always been outrage and then it fades away. Even after 26/11 in Mumbai, even when Qassab was caught and then, of course, he was put to death, but then it all faded away. That committed dedication to ending the terrorist threat from Pakistan has not sustained itself over the period. And even in 26/11 in Mumbai, there was such a debate, why should we do anything? Let it be. People have written about it. It's good we did nothing. People, there's a doubt being created in people's minds that do we need to pursue anti-terrorism to its very end? I think Prime Minister in his speech yesterday has set this argument to a rest once and for all and said we will pursue it. We will pursue it to the end. We will search all corners of the earth to get to the end of the terrorist threat from Pakistan. Now, the decision to do that is a very significant one. The discussion in the CCS on the previous day and then yesterday in Bihar, in Madhubani, Prime Minister saying this very significant statement, a message to the world and to the people of India. Now, this is what has to be followed up on in various ways to say, and we do need global support for that. As I spoke about the decision to declare Pakistan a state sponsor of terror, the FATF, all these, it has to be a combination. Just the bilateral will not be enough. Of course, this decision to put the Indus Water Treaty in abeyance is a very significant measure. Many people in India are trying to minimize it, to poo-poo it. No, ye kya hai, kuch nahi hai. It's really hit the jugular in Pakistan. Yes, General Asif Munir, who is known as the Maulvi Chief of Army Staff, perhaps the first one who is known as the Maulvi Chief of Army Staff, he spoke about the two-nation theory, but we all know that with the creation of Bangladesh in 1971, the two-nation theory was shattered. It doesn't exist anymore. And then he tried to talk about the Kalima, and certainly he was hinting at a reprisal, at a redressal. And even people like Najam Sethi, their WhatsApp have been floating around for the last few days, where again he said, yes, something will happen, wait and see. So, you know, these kind of threats, these kind of things being held out by the Pakistan civil society and military leadership, this, you know, we have to call it out. So it has to be a combination, the international support, and the measures within India, legal ones like putting the treaty in abeyance, and kinetic measures. You know, there could be so many more of those, which of course will be discussed very much behind closed doors, because that's a different set of actions altogether. But it has to be pursued. There can be no let up at all.
Yes. Mr. Pant, coming to you, in the Financial Action Task Force, India has registered some level of success. We have been able to, you know, push through global diplomacy and at least ensure that Hafiz Saeed and Zakir Rahman Lakhvi, the, you know, minds behind the Mumbai terror attack of 2008, are now in jail. Even Sajid Mir, who is, you know, seen as the mastermind of that particular provocation, is also in jail. Tahawur Rana is in the custody of NIA in Delhi, and interrogation is going on. That was also a big success for India in this matter. How do you look at the way forward? Because after all, you know, these major terror organizations, for instance, the Jaish-e-Mohammed and the Lashkar-e-Taiba, are now operating under proxy names. We all know, you know, the Resistance Front is the new proxy for LET, and they claimed responsibility for the Pahalgam attack.
India will have to use all the platforms available, including FATF, to mobilize support and to mobilize the global public opinion. And I think we have had great successes in the last decade, in particular in using some of these platforms to secure our interests. And one of the biggest successes of Indian diplomacy over the last decade has certainly been India's ability to convince a large part of the world about Pakistan being the epicenter of global terrorism. Just compare to what used to happen in the past, where Pakistan would, you know, shape a narrative about human rights problems in Kashmir, and a large part of the world would buy into it. To a situation, say, in 2019, when India abrogated Article 370, and it did not create a ripple. The world stood by India, the world understood India's position, and I think that's the global isolation in some ways that is also behind this desperation in what the Pakistani army chief is saying and what has happened in Pahalgam. But India will have to use the platforms to tighten the screws on around the military intelligence complex and to ensure that people, that perpetrators of terror acts, they do back to justice in India. And because now we have, for example, Tahawur Rana, who is now in India's custody, is being interrogated. The more information we have, the more public articulation of the challenge that India poses from Pakistan, more credible articulation in some ways we can do, because we have evidence, we have people who have perpetrated this in their thinking, the ideology, their convictions can be elaborated for the world. So I do think that we need to use FATF, we need to use global support from the global community, and to ensure that as we take actions, both kinetic and non-kinetic, against Pakistan, the world stands by us and understands the narrative, because narrative is very important in today's conflicts, and supporting that narrative becomes a priority for all governments who are waging these kind of struggles against rogue states like Pakistan.
Right. Ms. Sikri, also one good sign yesterday that we saw was emergence of a broad political consensus on the national response to Pak-sponsored terror. We saw Defense Minister Rajnath Singh chair a meeting of the all-party. All political leaders were present, leaders of opposition, Rahul Gandhi, Mallikarjun Kharge. Everybody backed the government and said that we need a strong national response after the Pahalgam terror attack. That national consensus has emerged after a while, you know, it has united the country. We are all one in grief. How do you see that?
The all-party meeting conveyed, and I'm very glad that all political parties were unanimous in supporting the government, in taking strong measures and in combating the scourge of terrorism coming from Pakistan, and supported the government in saying that we will continue till the very end. There are still efforts amongst other several political parties, you know, people at junior levels, at other levels, coming out and trying to question the government. There is a lot of attempt to create murky political situation and try to present as though the consensus is not complete. But we have seen that in the all-party meeting, the message was complete and strong. I think the government has to fully follow that, because the mandate is there. The mandate is there from within the government. The mandate is there from the political parties. Certainly the mandate is there from the people of India, that they are very, very determined that this scourge of terrorism must end and must not be allowed to continue.
The attack on innocent tourists in Pahalgam was described by Prime Minister Modi yesterday as an attack on the soul of the country. And so it was. And he also promised the country and the world that these perpetrators will not go unpunished. We will wait for the next response from the government. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on India's resolute stand against terrorism. The participants were Veena Sikri, former diplomat, and Harsh V. Pant, strategic analyst. The moderator was Aditi Tandon, senior journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani.